God bless you guys. Thank you for being patient with us. It's great to be back in the house of the Lord. Aren't you grateful? I was thinking just the other day, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I tell you tonight, if it weren't for the house of the Lord, we would be absolutely halfway crazy, wouldn't we? With everything that's going on in the world, trying to figure out what to do and what not to do and where to be and where not to be. But I want to come tonight and share a few thoughts once again from the testimony of an innocent man in the book of Job. We began, pardon me, on Wednesday, well, last Sunday evening, because we had our business meeting on Wednesday night and we didn't get to the book of Job, but we were looking at Job reflecting on past glory. In Job chapter 29 and verse 3, Job reflects on his past glory. He said, when his lamp shone over my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. Job is reflecting. Job is remembering. Job is relishing the days that have gone by. He's remembering when his 10 children were alive and when they were with he and Harriet. As you mentioned, you know, I mentioned I'm going to call her Harriet. I guess we can give her whatever name we want since she's not given a name there. I like that as well as saying Mrs. Job. Anyway, when they could visit together, have their family together, enjoy their meals together, relax on special days of celebration where all of his family gathered around the table. I remember when, says Job, how great it was. Notice his descriptive words in chapter 29 of Job, verse 6. He is reflecting on the past. When my steps were bathed in butter and the rock poured out for me streams of oil. Now, what Job is doing there, he's penning words. Remember, a lot of this is Hebrew poetry, and so therefore he uses vivid word pictures here. His world was good back then. Life was wonderful. Joy was everywhere abounding in his life. God's grace abounded with them. And I'm sure that each one of us here tonight can remember when there was such great moments in our own lives with our own families when people were all together. Maybe it was before life's harsh trials set in and we began to experience all of those things that happened in our life. As you reflect back, maybe you can recall just those simple, those quiet hours that you would spend with God when your steps seem ordered by Him, when each dawn brought rays of fresh new hope. Just you and God talking together, sitting together. Do y'all remember the days when people used to sit on the front porch? You know, high society today doesn't even know what that's all about, but there were those moments. People would either sit out under, as the old folks used to say, that old elm tree. Well, there are lots of trees out there that people have sat under or sat on porches. The other day I was driving down 10th Street and I noticed out a house and on the front porch there were two rockers and one person was out rocking and I thought, I remember those times when you could just sit out there and watch the world go by with not a care on earth. And I thought that man who was sitting there on his porch, just probably basking in the moment, reminiscing about days gone by, how precious and dear those times were to all of us. In Job chapter 29, verses 7 through 10, he continues reminiscing. He says, when I went out to the gate of the city. Remember, Job would go to the gate of the city. He was such a well-respected man of the East, one of the greatest of men of the East, according to the book of Job. It was at the city gate where they did city business, where people would come, where various things were ruled and judged and looked at and passed upon. And he thinks about this time. Remember, he's sitting in an ash heap. He's covered in boils. They have broken out all over his body. He's writhing in pain. And he says, when I went out to the gate of the city, when I took my seat in the square. No doubt Job was one of those people who was used in a great and a mighty way to do city business and city ordinances and all kinds of decision making. He said in verse 8, the young men arose and stood. He's remembering now how that he had great, incredible respect during those days of his life. He says in verse 9, the princes stopped talking and put their hands over their mouths. Notice how picturesque this is. When folks were in the presence of someone that they greatly admired, oftentimes in that day, as well as we see people do it today, they'll place their hand over their mouth and they'll just stare in awe and wonder. He speaks about young men once responded that way when he came near. When they came near Job. Tonight, I'm sure there are things you remember that you took for granted. Let me ask you a question. Yesterday, last week, last year, were there things that you took for granted? You know, I cannot help but think when I see all of the problems over the world and I realize that oftentimes you and I are so used to coming together, to worshiping together, to being here with the lights on, during the summer months and the winter months and throughout the year, and to know that these doors are opened three times a week as we come together to serve the Lord. How blessed we are. I hope we never take that for granted, because I can assure you tonight, all over the world, there are people in Afghanistan, Christians, who can't do that. There are people tonight in China who can't do that. There are people tonight in Havana, Cuba, that cannot do that. There are people tonight in Africa that cannot do that. There are people all over the world this evening that do not have that great privilege. May it be something you and I would never, ever take for granted. Don't ever take your family for granted, because you never know what each day will bring and what a day will bring forth. You just never know what's going to happen. You have them today. Love them, enjoy them while you can. Job remembers the city square. It was not a prideful issue for Job. It was just that he carried out his service duties. He had leadership responsibilities. The younger fellows would gather to hear the wisdom of Job. They would look at a man that was so revered in that day, a man who could be trusted. I hear more people say today than ever before, who can you trust? I don't know who I can trust. And you and I are living in those times. That's why I tell everybody, tie knot and hang on to Jesus. You can trust him. Let me tell you, I love that song, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Job was a very wealthy man, but Job did not conduct himself in a manner. He did not think himself better. He did not pride himself in the things that God had blessed him with. He was truly humble. He had great compassion. He was a man in the East of great generosity. And he remembers all of those things. He longs for those days. He remembers when life was good. His life was like the flowing of oil over the rocks, as he puts it in that poetic form there, flowing into the lives of others. Even those princes would come and stop, and they would stare at him with great awe and great respect. Notice in chapter 29 of Job, verses 11 through 17, he goes on to say, for when the ear heard, it called me blessed, and when the eye saw, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor who cried for help and the orphan who had no helper. The blessing of the one ready to perish came upon me, and I made the widow's heart sing for joy. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. When I think about that, I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. When I read that, I could not help but think about Roland and Jerry Gay when they took on the ministry here in our city and formed the blind group. And they met here on these grounds for a number of years, how that they became eyes to the blind and feet to those that are lame. So oftentimes, I think we take our health for granted. Let me tell you, you better never take your health for granted, because it swiftly leaves you behind at some point in life, unless you're blessed and fortunate enough that you have great genetics, that none of those things happen. Notice in verse 16, Job said, I was a father to the needy, and I investigated the case which I did not know. I broke the jaws of the wicked and snatched the prey from his teeth. Job is defending the defenseless out there in life. When I look and I see all of the children of the world tonight, no wonder Jesus loved the little children. No wonder he gathered the little children around to him. Jesus realized that they were defenseless. I've always said, in the older crowd of the older crowd, you can either put yourself or not, okay? But in the older crowd of the older crowd, and in the youngest crowd of the younger crowd, those areas, people are absolutely defenseless. Job remembered those kind of people in life. He looked upon those that were maimed. He looked upon those who had physical handicaps. And Job had incredible compassion upon them. Job defended the defenseless. He stood in behalf of those that were being abused, those that were being taken advantage of. He didn't regret, and he did not forget those that were in great need. It says he broke the jaws of the wicked, and he championed the cause of the abused. What a model. What a role model. Today, in the 21st century, we look for role models. I mean, there used to be role models that people had, somebody you looked up to, somebody you had great respect for. You revered them in every fashion. I've told this before, but it bears repeating. There was a preacher preaching one day about the way that Jesus was being crucified and beaten and bruised and battered and bludgeoned. And this preacher just went on in great descriptive detail of what happened. A little kid stood up on the back row and said, I'll tell you, if Gene Autry had been there, it wouldn't have happened. Folks, let me tell you, there are a lot of defenseless people in life out there that rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Occasionally in life, there comes on this earth scene certain people that capture our attention. They seem to have a command of life, and we long to be around those type of people. Job, I believe, based upon scripture, based upon the description of him, I believe Job was one of those kind of people. I believe Job was a person that people gravitated to. Notice in the 29th chapter in verse 25, I chose a way for them and sat as chief. Now, he's speaking here about the defenseless, those that are being abused. I chose a way for them and sat as chief and dwelt as a king among the troops, as one who comforted the mourners. When I read that, I thought, where are all of Job's comforters? When Job needed them most, when Job needed comforters, all Job had was accusers for the most part. But Job was one of those that looked at those that were in deep grief and mourning and pain and sickness and sorrow with all kinds of physical infirmities and handicaps. That verse, I believe there in verse 25, encompasses every aspect of Job's role in his community. He did it all, from leading the council during the peaceful times to guiding the people through one crisis right after another. And all the while, he was caring out there for those that were less fortunate. Job was a man who inspired the whole community. And Job began to reflect. Job began to look back. Job began to think about those days when life was so wonderful, when life was so joyful and so good. I hear people say over and over and over, and we rehearse this quite often in the 21st century, oh, I remember the days of. Oh, I remember those days. You know, a song can come on the radio. You know, now they have songs of the decades, of whatever particular decade you grew up in, and songs that reflected meaning and purpose to you and to me. And as Job sits there in this ash heap with all of his struggles, Job is remembering, Job is reflecting. Let me tell you, when you come to the end of life, it's a little bit late to look back and to reflect, and especially to have regret. I think as Job sat here, no doubt as he ran through his mind and as he penned these immortal words that we are still reading today in the 21st century. Can you only imagine? One of the oldest books in all the Bible, if not the oldest book that's there along with the time of Genesis. If you can only imagine how things had come now to a screeching halt in his life. And I find that day after day, year after year, month after month, when I'm visiting with people in whatever venue of life it is, in whatever crisis, whatever the turmoil is that's going on in people's lives, most of them reflect. Those that are in the nursing homes reflect. I can remember many years ago as I would go to the nursing home on a weekly basis to visit senior adults. When I was ministered to senior adults, and I would think about them, and I would go sit with them, and I learned much from them. I gained much insight into life and a lot of wisdom that only they could impart because they had lived life. They knew what it was like to go through trying times, hard times, difficult times. I remember one of those senior adults began to share with me one day, I'm no longer able to function independently as I once functioned. I look back. I sit here. I open my Bible. I remember. I remember those days when I would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I would go to my garden and I would kneel down and pray. Because when my little kids would awaken, they would look for mom, and if mom wasn't there, they would come out and find me. So I had to get up early in order to walk and talk and meet with God. And I've thought about that so many times. I've thought about the Bessie Hokits of this world. I've thought about the Willa Dean Edwardses of this world who lived over there on Elder. Let me tell you, Willa Dean lived alone. She had her handicaps. She lived on a meager little amount of money a month. But I've never seen a more joyful Christian in all of my life than she was. I mean, whatever it was, I didn't want her to be so joyful at times. I wasn't joyful, and I'd go see her, and goodness gracious, she would just be almost hanging from the rafters. She was so excited. Son, let me tell you what Jesus is doing for me today. That's why she'd always say, son, let me tell you. Son, I've noticed those hymn books up there at the church. They need to be recovered. The spines of them were broken down. And I, if you'll get the materials, I'll do the work. And I remember she repaired all of those hymnals. She found something to do every day of life to be such a great encourager. I remember so many of those senior saints and the various things that they did and how they lived life and how they would share stories with me and the way God had brought them through some of the most tumultuous times in all of life, during those hard days of life, through the war years, through the Great Depression years, through the Dust Bowl years, and to watch their sons and daughters go off to fight in a battle in order to make you and me safe tonight, where we can enter into this church and worship God as we please. I think so oftentimes as Job reflects back upon the past, I reflect back and I take minute vacations in my mind and I remember this one or I remember that one or I remember something they said or something they said funny that brightened my day and lifted my spirits. I can remember them reflecting on days that I prayed to Jesus here in my bed, flat on my back, and all I can do now at this juncture in life is look up. But I want you to know there are days, even in my own spiritual life, they would say, days when I feel that I can reach up and pull heaven down. But there are days that I feel my prayer never gets beyond the ceiling. Isn't that so true of all of us? There are days, there are the glory days, the victorious days. There are the days of laughter. There are the days of song. But then there are those days that are not as joyful. Our prayers don't seem to get beyond the ceiling. Heaven's ceiling seems to be brassed over at times. I think as Job reminisces here, he goes through all these verses and he shares his own personal thoughts, how that he's reflecting on those days when time was so good. I cannot help but think about that tonight myself. When I think about school days, good old golden rule days, reading, writing, arithmetic, talk to the tune of a hickory stick. Remember that old song? Any of y'all? Are y'all too young to remember that? I think about those school days. I think about whenever we walked into the classroom and we respected the teacher. I remember that we saluted the pledge to the flag and we sang either My Country, Tis of Thee or the Star Spangled Banner. I remember that we prayed the Lord's Prayer. I remember when the Gideons used to come to the schools and pass out the little New Testaments. Y'all remember those days? Let me tell you, I just look at young people today and think, oh, what you have missed. What you have missed that we were able to have, and in those days, we probably didn't appreciate those days. Job looks back. Job remembers. Job reflects. For a few moments of life, he can remember when everything was good and exciting. Folks, let me tell you, one of the applications you and I can take away tonight as reflecting on past glory is to remember the God who is the God of the past, who is the God of the present, and who is the God of the future. May you and I never take for granted the wonderful blessings and the freedoms that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you stand as we pray together and as we have our invitation time? Maybe you're here and you just need a fresh new touch. Would you just pray and ask Jesus to give you a new touch, a new lease on life, so to speak? If you're here tonight and you're struggling with problems and situations in your life, would you just reach out through faith and ask Jesus just to renew once again that joy and that peace within your heart and life? If you're here tonight and you need a church home, would you just let the Holy Spirit speak to you? Maybe you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus into your heart. Would you just ask Jesus to forgive you of all your sins and come into your heart and let Him lead you all the days of your life? If you need to come tonight, would you come as I pray, and then Craig's going to lead us.